And Father, I pray now for Andrew as he comes to open your word to us. Thank you that you've opened his mind and his heart to the message you want to bring to us tonight. Pray that we in turn may open our hearts and minds to what you want to say to us. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Please do grab a seat.
Well, good evening. It's really nice to have you with us. Thanks for coming. Didn't bring my sunglasses, so don't expect much eye contact. That'll be tough for me. I just wanted to get a little show of hands, really. If you're you know that moment on the family WhatsApp where someone says, mum or dad writes on it and they say, hey, I like your Christmas present list, please. Okay? I just want to see what kind of people we've got in the room. So option A, you go, or I'm just going to go across to the notes that I've already made about the presents I want with links to make sure they get the right one, and I'm just going to copy and paste that. Have we got any of those in the room? Quite a few. Very, very specific. Good. Then there are people I would fall into this camp who reply and go, oh, I really don't mind, you know, go wild. Choose what you want, whatever you think suits me. And then invariably on Christmas Day, you're actually quite disappointed because no one gave you what you wanted. Any of those in the room? Little hands. Yeah, I'm one of them. Yeah, actually, they're not putting their hands in the air very high there. But there we go. There are probably others, but, you know, those are the two that I'm most familiar with. Anyway, so Christmas, it's an incredibly predictable time of year, isn't it? We pretty much always know what's coming. Even to the extent that often we know what presents we're going to get. We know that we're probably going to be surrounded by similar kinds of people. That either usually it'll be a very happy time or maybe a very challenging time. Maybe a time where we're acutely aware of the people that aren't with us. The fact that we maybe feel incredibly lonely. Or that we're amongst family that we find quite challenging. Or maybe surrounded by people who just make us feel alive, that we can't get enough time with them, like a breath of fresh air. But it's probably quite predictable. The Christmas morning routine that we grew up with, that even as young adults, middle adults, or adults, we secretly still want to go through. The Christmas lunch, which really doesn't change that much, as much as a turkey wants it to. He's like, try someone else for once, you know what I mean? Have you tried corn? It's very good. Hello, turkey. You're my guy. At least it's only once a year. You know, you've got a feel for the chicken, don't you? Anyway. And when we come to church as well, we often, at Christmas time, it can be a really predictable thing. You know, we go through the nativity, and it's the same story. I mean, it doesn't change, which is good. I wouldn't want it to change, but it doesn't change. It's the same thing over and over, maybe with just different children acting it out, which is, of course, incredibly cute. And again, we wouldn't want it to change, but it's the same every year. The carols are the same every year. It's a really predictable time. And a lot of that is very comforting, and it's often what we crave. We crave the stability of the familiar. The stability of being able to go home, being around the people that we want to be around. But the irony is that the story of Christmas was incredibly unpredictable. That if you trace the nativity story, it never takes a turn that you would expect if you were in the story. Let's go through it. So we start with a young woman who's a virgin, and an angel appears. She probably wasn't expecting an angel to appear. It's never happened to me, and chances are it's probably never happened to her before that moment. I mean, I don't know, so, you know, don't quote me. I'm not on Twitter, but, you know, I don't want to hear on the grapevine that someone's slaying me for saying that Mary had never seen an angel before. And then the angel says, don't be terrified, as if, mate. Of course I'm terrified. Don't be terrified, but you're going to be pregnant. He says to the virgin. With God's son. And that happens every year. We hear that happen every year. And we go, yeah, well, I mean, that's just a story, isn't it? Imagine being Mary. What on earth has happened? That's like the most unpredictable thing that's ever happened to you. No one would have written that in their dreams for the year list. An angel appears and tells me I'm pregnant, even though I'm a virgin, with God's own son. Merry Christmas. Madness. And then her and her husband-to-be, who thankfully, I mean, he has his own journey. He's thinking she's pregnant, she's slept with somebody else. And then he has a dream where an angel appears. Seems fashionable. And the angel says to him, don't divorce her, which is like culturally the worst thing that you could not do. Does that make sense? I don't know. I got confused with the double negatives there. That's like you would just divorce her. You would just, well, not divorce. You just wouldn't marry her. You just would not marry that woman. And he goes so far against culture because of this dream he has. Imagine someone saying that to you. Why are you doing this thing that everybody says is a bad idea? Well, I had a dream and I'm, you would go, a dream. You need something more than that. But he trusts it. He goes with it. And then they go to Bethlehem, which is miles away. And just as they arrive, it's Mary's due date. And you think, well, it's God's own son. She's going to have 5-star. God's going to look after her. That would be the predictable thing. Because she's about to give birth to God. Knocks on the doors. Full, 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 full. No room, no room. No one's ready for you. That's how I'd feel if I was Mary. No one's thought ahead, love. No one went onto booking.com and just snapped up a little deal. Nothing's booked in your name. So she ends up in a stable. Unpredictable. And then, obviously, a choir of angels appear in the sky above some shepherds. Yeah, I was thinking that would be on the next page. Because that's obviously what happens in a story, isn't it? And they sing, and the shepherds decide, are convicted, that they should go to a stable, leaving their entire livelihood, their entire, everything they own in the sheep. Just leave them on the hillside. Just leave them, apart from a lamb. Lucky lamb. Lucky Larry the lamb. And they take Larry with them to the stable, and they find a baby who they feel just overwhelmed that they should sort of worship. And then, next page, 3 very affluent men have been traveling for a long time, following a star. Yeah, there are plenty of them in the sky. How do you pick the one you're following? I don't know. They're following a star for months and months and months to get to the same manger, bringing gifts. I mean, honestly, you would look at them and go, you are mad. You are absolutely, you're off your rocker. It's not a predictable story. And if we trace the life of this baby that this whole story orientates around, he's an unpredictable guy. It's surprise after surprise after surprise. Over and over again, he does things that his followers sort of don't want him to do. He says, don't tell anybody about me. And they think, but didn't you come that everybody would know about you? He delays going to one place when they think he should hurry, and he hurries when he thinks he should delay. He heals people by spitting into mud and putting it on their eyes. He is a really unpredictable man. And yet sometimes when we think about God, Jesus, faith, religion, we think it's all straight lines. We think we know what it's all about. Whether we've analyzed it from afar, whether we've lived within it, we look at it and we go, these are all straight lines. This is predictable. We know this. We know what God's about. He's very unpredictable. And he made a particular effort to demonstrate that. A, through how he arrived on earth, how he lived on earth, and also what happened at the end of his life. And that's what I look at this evening in a little bit. So, Lucy, why don't you come and read to us? And we're going to be reading from the end of Mark's sort of telling of Jesus' life. And I'll explain why in a moment.
The reading is from the 16th chapter of Mark, verses 1 to 8. If you've got a church Bible, it's on page 1024. Jesus has risen. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Lucy. So, we talk about the start of the life of Jesus every Christmas. So I thought, please forgive me for talking about something else now. But I wanted to look a little bit at when he died, because it was really unpredictable. And in case you hadn't realized, that's sort of my point, that God isn't predictable. I was going to start by saying the title of this message is Christmas is Predictable, but I thought that was maybe a bit of a downer, so I'll just say it now in the middle. Yeah. I like the title, but, that's fine. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. So we get to the end of Jesus' life and he dies. And as with the culture at the time, these ladies are going to anoint his body to sort of perfume it so that the smell of death isn't there as much, so that it's part of the ritual of somebody dying. AKA, it's the predictable thing that they would do. And they're walking to the tomb and they suddenly stumble upon this problem. Who is going to roll the stone away? It's huge. We can't do that. And they see in the distance that the stone's already rolled away. And who do they find there? An angel. Sound familiar? And what does the angel say to them? "Don't be terrified." Sound familiar? It's exactly what he said to Mary. Because the man that you came, the dead man you came to find, isn't dead. He's alive. Now, the reason I stopped the reading there is because there's some suggestion that originally in Mark's telling of the story, that's where he finishes, with these three women running away, absolutely terrified, not knowing what has happened, because, their little worldview of that moment, that day, has just been completely ripped apart. And they just don't know what to do, and they run. Now, in Monday Bibles, there's a bit added which sort of tidies up the loose ends that says, in line with the other Gospels, it says actually they did talk to the disciples and they did tell them what was going on. And so we know that eventually they did. But I wanted to sort of grab this moment and go, what would have happened if they just ran and they never stopped and thought, what if that was true? What if that was God? What if that thing that happened that was totally off grid, that totally came and surprised me, that I could never have planned for, that I could never have expected, what if that moment was actually God? Because right at the beginning of the story of Jesus and right at the end, we have two different responses. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she doesn't flee, she doesn't run. She starts the conversation. She talks, she presses into the moment, bewildering as it is. The three women at the end, they're terrified and they run. Eventually they overcome that. But what if this Christmas for me and you wasn't full of just predictable moments? What if something unpredictable happened? What if an angel appeared? What if you had a dream that told you to change the direction of your life? A conversation when you just saw, actually, something's going on more than just a conversation here. Where you had a moment where you felt suddenly aware that maybe God was trying to get your attention. What would you do? What would I do? If I saw an angel in my house, I'd ask him where he got the key, and probably to respect, But what if we made a choice to actually press in, to go, okay, this is not my belief system that, this thing right here doesn't fit with me. But I'm going to trust it for a little while. I'm going to see where this leads. I'm going to lean into it. And I want to finish by inviting Elspeth up to share a bit of a story, because I guess something similar happened to you, and I thought it'd be nice for you to tell us about it with that microphone. Or this one, or you can have both. You love that one. Okay. Yeah, do you want to just tell us?
So I think it kind of started last year. You know, I came to uni and, life was just pretty easy. I didn't have to trust on God in anything. And I came to church on a Sunday. I gave God like an hour of my time. And then that was about it. You know, an hour a week, that was good enough for me. And then it got to a point where suddenly it wasn't easy. I suddenly had to rely on God. And I didn't see God anywhere. I didn't think he was talking to me at all. And so I continued to like press in and nothing happened. And I got to the point where I literally came to church one Tuesday and I was praying like, God, you're not talking to me. There's nothing else I can do. And in that moment, Andrew started speaking at the top during worship. And I just instantly knew that that was God speaking directly to me. Even though the room was full of other people, I could have quite easily walked away from that evening exactly the same as I went in. It was just Andrew speaking to everybody. But no, I knew that it was God speaking directly to me.
I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. So you just knew that even though it was just a person talking, it was more than just a person?
Yeah, no, I think just everything that you said was answering all of my prayers, and it was just different to every other Tuesday. It was, just totally unexpected and out of the blue, and I just, knew it was God.
And were you, did it scare you? Did it worry you? Did you think it was a bit weird?
Yeah, I just was so overwhelmed in that moment. I spent, the rest of the evening crying because suddenly God...
I do remember that, actually, yeah. Yeah, we had to get some more tissues, actually.
I think it's just very overwhelming. Like, God, the creator of the universe, creator of everything, just in that moment decided to speak directly to me.
And last question, how's it affected you?
I mean, it's changed everything, really. It's gone from I do my time and God fits into that to Jesus is enough, and it's not Jesus plus anything else that can satisfy you, but just Jesus.
Thanks, Elspeth. Let's give a little round of applause. It's quite overwhelming. Well done. Now, I'm very aware that that's a Christian, it's a Christian testimony, isn't it? And some of us are sort of, well, maybe some of you sitting here going, fine, you got me in church to sing some carols and they, now try and hoodwink me in, okay? Fine. And I'm not going to try and hide anything. We're not going to try and pretend we're trying to coerce or anything like that. But we do have a story that we feel like we want to tell. But we will never, ever, ever try to force or twist truth or anything like that. We just want to put things on a plate in front of people and enable you to walk out of here knowing that you have a choice, that something could happen this Christmas time that you, which could well be God trying to get your attention. And in that moment, you have a choice. You press in or you walk away. Okay? I don't want to dress it up and I don't want to dress it down. And maybe I've done a good job, maybe I've done a bad job. And no doubt some of you will tell me very well on the way out, preferably if you think I've done a good job. But if you think I've done a bad job, tell somebody else. And maybe they won't pass it on, but we'll see. But anyway, I could keep talking, but I won't. I'm just going to say a quick prayer. If you believe in God, pray with me. If you don't, then don't. But it's just going to be a prayer about staying open over Christmas. And as you listen to the nativity and the Christmas routine this year, please just remember in the back of your heads that actually this story isn't such a predictable one. And that maybe something unpredictable could happen to you. And would you try and be open to it? Just try and be open to it. Okay. If there's anything I've said that you just think that is just wacko or I don't understand it, please come and ask me afterwards. I'd love that. But anyway, let's pray, or let's have a moment of silence as I pray. So, Father, thank you that you're unpredictable, that you're a person, that you're not all straight lines, that you're a character that makes decisions and chooses how to act. And thank you, God, for the Christmas story that it is a remarkable story full of these incredible moments that no one could have predicted. And we pray, God, that you would help us this Christmas, that if there's an unpredictable moment, which maybe is you breaking in, that we would just choose to go with it and to take a step forwards rather than running away and thinking in the back of our heads, never knowing if it was you or not. Amen. Brilliant. I think we're going to sing some more carols. So why don't we stand up and we'll do that.